Good evening, you're listening to Blast Processing, the unofficial, unauthorized, how the hell did we get on the internet, video game, gadget, gear related, podcast, radio, internet show, thing, whatever.
That started very, very formal, and it just, I don't know why, where he went from there.
On DVDverdict.com.
That's good, that's good.
You like that?
I like that a lot.
That's a lot better than the first attempt, isn't it?
We won't talk about the first attempt on the air.
Yeah.
Who gave these chambers a microphone?
I don't know. With me, as always, my hetero faithful companions, Mr. John Mercer.
That's so gay.
I said hetero. And Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
Now we're going to have to redo this part, because that was... No, it's all right. Keep going, man.
There's nothing wrong with it.
We're okay.
What's your problem?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it.
I don't have any problems.
Let's get right down to it.
All right.
Let's get down to brass tacks, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been playing this week?
Don't start with me.
John!
Don't start with me. A bit of a slow holiday season at the Mercer House.
It wasn't a holiday season. Holiday season was over 2 weeks ago.
It's been a bit of a slow week at the Mercer House. I haven't been playing Resistance 3, which was a Christmas gift. Mainly because my wife has become horribly addicted to Entourage, and I'll never see my television set again.
Okay. Rewind. Now, let's start over. Guys, what did we all get under our Christmas trees this year? John?
Video game-wise, I got Resistance 3. I finally get to play it, having not played Resistance 1 or 2.
Oh, you're going to be right at home.
I am. Actually, you know what? I think it's going to be pretty fresh to bring an outsider's perspective into this, because, I mean, the reviews weren't the greatest in the world, but a lot of people are telling me they're actually pretty solid shooters.
Didn't Resistance 3 get, like, high 80s?
Yeah, but, I mean, aren't we living in the world where anything gets less than 9 out of 10? It's, you know, lynch mob and burn things down. And
I weep for society.
I haven't been playing Resistance 3 yet, again, because my wife's horribly addicted to Entourage, and I'll never see my television again. And, we did.
Entourage is a terrible show. I'm just saying.
Let me say that to Beth. I don't know what I did to deserve it, but under the Christmas tree for my wife and I was a shiny, highly polished turd.
What?
We're now the proud owners of a Nintendo 3DS.
Oh!
And no less than 5 pieces of software.
Oh,
wow.
There are 5 pieces of software out for that system?
How's your vision, John?
Who are you again?
He's got an appointment with his optometrist on Monday.
How many fingers am I holding up? Is that a walrus's flipper? Let's probably move closer to the microphone. I'm behind the computer. Can't hear me.
Oh, I can hear you just fine.
Beautiful. To tell you the truth, the one I've been enjoying the most is probably the one that's got the worst reviews so far. Shinobi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying Shinobi, which I played with the 3D turned off.
Pretty much the only way I could play that machine was with the 3D turned off.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna as much as we were making fun of it a couple weeks ago, and we had that horrible ambush topic on what would you do to save the 3DS, Well, I mean, I showed it to you guys last time I was out. It's got a really, really narrow corridor for seeing the 3D.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your eyes hurt.
It's a horrible machine.
Yeah.
It's like
it
the
really
Virtual
is.
Boy reincarnated.
It's a terrible, terrible machine.
And the only game, the 5 games we got for it were, for Elizabeth, we got Mario Kart and Sonic Generations.
Okay.
For me, Zelda Ocarina of Time, because I don't own the N64 or the GameCube version of it.
Okay.
And Shinobi, and the system came with Mario 3D Land.
Oh, right on.
And Mario 3D Land is the only one that actually does anything with the 3D. You know, anything either be creative. Right, the rest of it's just like when you get the DS games, it didn't use the bottom screen for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything real, right? It's really gimmicky. I mean, I'm finding Shinobi awesome, but I mean, I love Shinobi 3.
You're telling me that Nintendo, bastions of hardcore video gaming and grassroots, you know, old school experience, have made a gimmicky system? That can't be true, John.
What are you guys going to do? Poop from Miyamoto right under my Christmas tree. So it's been a sad couple weeks at the Mercer House.
Oh, that's too bad.
I downloaded Dark Void Zero. That was a bit of fun.
Okay. That's that retro-style Dark Void?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, imagine the G.I. Joe NES game, and Bionic Commando had a baby.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It'd be Dark Void Zero.
Okay.
That would be cool.
I'd play that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the best chiptunes I've ever heard.
Well, Bear McCreary, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you got the guy who did all the music for Battlestar Galactica, which was an awesome TV show, unlike Entourage.
Actually, I'm not saying best chiptunes, I don't like NES. I mean the best of the, when people start doing those retro games, right?
I hate chiptunes.
Yeah.
I really do. It's like, chiptunes is like the Scott Pilgrim comic book series. It's just, you know, these postmodern hipsters winking at their audience, you know? For postmodern hipsters, by postmodern hipsters.
Now move on to Kevin, I'm done embarrassing myself.
Yeah.
Alright. Well, oh my goodness. It was quite a gaming holiday for me.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. I did get a couple games under the tree.
Yay!
My mom actually called me from gaming store. And that conversation...
From gaming store?
From a gaming store.
From the gaming store.
And,
No, just gaming store.
Just gaming store. I convinced her to let me go pick them out. Because, you know...
You know.
God only knows, right?
Yeah, we don't want copies of Platoon for any
That's right. So, I picked up Borderlands. Because I have never played it.
Did you get the Game of the Year edition?
I don't remember.
It's for mere $10 more, you get...
It probably wasn't because it was a cheap one. I got that and Enslaved.
Enslaved's a great game.
Yep. And oh no, I picked up Enslaved before Christmas. Before Christmas, I picked up Enslaved and Killzone 2 because I hadn't had them before. For Christmas, I got Borderlands from Mom, and my brother gave me a copy of Marvel vs. Capcom 3: Fate of Two Worlds,
which is a terrible game.
Is it terrible?
I don't know.
I had fun. I played a little bit.
It's a Marvel vs. game.
Yeah.
You ask me if it's terrible, and you've actually played it.
I played a little bit of it. I liked it. Well, you know, this is how much I trust your judgment, Steve, on games. Well, not on all games. We'll never agree on Minecraft, of course.
No.
And I also got Kung Fu Panda 2, the video game. I'm a huge Kung Fu Panda fan. I love the movies. I actually kind of dug the first game. You know, it was just a 3D
I helped Betty get past the part she was stuck at, and it was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
It was very pretty.
And when I got this one, my girlfriend's sister gave it to me for Christmas. God love her. And I was looking at the booklet. I couldn't figure out what kind of game it was. Even looking at the booklet, because it looked like all the screenshots were so close, it kind of looked like a fighting game. I was like, is this a fighting game? Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. And I put it in. And it's got to be one of the worst games I've ever played.
Oh
my god. I played a fair bit of it, actually. Which just goes to tell you something about my tolerance for pain.
So is it a fighting game?
No, it is an action-adventure game.
Okay.
But just a really, okay, really poorly executed
Platoon
one.
Platoon for NES? You know nothing of pain.
It's so bad, man. Like, the dialogue when the characters are speaking, their mouths are moving just up and down, and words are...
That's Matt Mouth?
Oh yeah, it's so bad. It looks like something. Yeah, exactly like that.
Ow!
It looks like something that wasn't finished.
My brain is bleeding.
Anyway, it's pretty bad. So I played a bit of that. There was also underneath my tree a shiny new iPad 2.
Woo!
So I ended up promptly downloading a whole bunch of games for that.
Infinity Blade.
Yeah, Infinity Blade 1, which is awesome. Punch out with swords kind of thing. World of Goo. Which is a really fun kind of puzzly game. That's right. Dead Space for iPad.
Which is awesome.
Deadly. What else? Rage, which is kind of a rail shooter. Which you played a little bit of, Steve?
I thought Rage was pretty fun, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't amazing, but you know.
But yeah, it was what? 99 cents, I think I paid for it.
Something like that. It was worth
whatever.
The dollar.
Yeah. I also picked up Mirror's Edge, the iPad version.
Never did play.
It's kind of a 2D kind of platformy kind of game where you're just running and you got to dodge and jump buttons and stuff like that. See, I had them all up on my screen, but then Steve pressed a button to launch a game. Okay, here we go. What else did I pick up? I picked up a couple of board games, because I'm a big board game fan. Tigris and Euphrates and T-Call, which are really good. Warfare Incorporated, which is a really great kind of StarCraft ripoff.
Oh.
A game called Swords and Sworcery.
Sworcery?
Sworcery, yeah. Which is hilarious. And it's kind
of that the Swords and Sworcery EP or whatever?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. It's actually really, really cool.
I think, I don't know if it was IGN gave it their best downloadable title.
I would read some awesome reviews for
is
it.
Is that a platformer that's, all the graphics look like it was made on the Commodore 64?
Yeah, it's all pixelated, much. Yeah.
There's one I was thinking about, it's called the VVVV.
Oh, I've played that one. That's actually a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also picked up a Fighting Fantasy Gamebook iPad version, the old Steve Jackson's gamebook, which I really like. I actually picked one of those up, and that's a lot of fun. And also, Chronicles of Anoshia 2, which is free in the App Store. It's free.
I'm told that Chronicles of Anoshia 2, instead of actually using attack buttons, they used like some really weird, kind of like an ease running into the...
I haven't played it yet. I haven't played it yet, because I've been too busy with everything else.
I haven't played it either.
And what I find amazing is when we were messing around with Kev's App Store, when we came across the original Chronicles of Anoshia.
Yeah.
Here it was a game I downloaded 2 years ago on my iPod Touch.
That's pretty hilarious,
and
man.
And played for, I don't know how long.
Yeah. Now, of course, I'm still playing Skyrim. I'm at a point now where I think I'm getting those kind of... What do they call them? Radiant quests?
Yeah.
I think I'm getting those now from the companions.
Yeah, you get a bunch of those from the companions, and then apparently you fight a dragon or something at the end of the game.
Oh, okay, because they're sending me off to do, like, extermination missions and rescue the kidnapped person missions.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot of them.
That's radiant missions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting there. Yeah. Which is okay, but I find my XP is not really going up a whole lot.
Don't you get yourself kidnapped.
And I spent a good chunk of yesterday, well, a couple of hours anyway, playing Minecraft Pocket Edition on my iPad.
Hey.
Okay, here's what happened. The heights of nerdiness yesterday. I actually went online to look up building diagrams for building things in Minecraft.
I think my brain is...
I sat down with my iPad in my lap and my computer screen open to a diagram on how to build a wizard's tower. Step by step.
I don't know.
I know. But the tower is pretty cool. I'll show it to you later.
That's okay.
No, it's really cool,
it's
Steve.
It's shaped like a big wizard's head.
It's got like a side tower on it and a spiral staircase in the middle.
It's not a meteor, it's a cookie wall. We gave it to you because it makes you look more like the Cookie Crisp Wizard. Which is a reference I didn't even get. Because when I was a kid, the Cookie Crisp mascot was a burglar.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
I don't either.
All right. So, that's what I've been playing.
Butterfly in the sky.
Oh, God. not a heavy gaming Christmas for me.
Christmas was 2 weeks ago.
Under my Christmas tree were Assassin's Creed Revelations, the final chapter in the Ezio Altair storyline, supposedly. I didn't dig into it because I haven't finished Brotherhood yet.
Yeah.
And I want to put the end to Brotherhood before I get started on Revelations.
But you started playing the first one recently, didn't you, again?
I did actually restart the first one.
Why would you restart that when you got to finish Brotherhood?
Because the first one's amazing.
It is amazing.
But... And I started playing it on the Xbox because I'd never played the Xbox 360 version. And I've had it for a while, just, you know, it was free and whatever, so it was sitting on my shelf for Xbox. And I remember hearing that it looked a bit nicer on the Xbox 360. So I fired it up, fired in the 360 version, started a new game, and sure enough, it does look a hell of a lot nicer on the Xbox 360. It's, you know, it's a very, very... It's still an amazingly pretty, gorgeous, beautiful game that has hardly aged at all.
Mm.
It's still fantastic.
Yeah.
It was my game of the year for 2007. And, you know, it's still freaking awesome.
I believe it.
It's still a great game. But yeah, so, you know, I do have to finish Brotherhood at some point and get into Revelations. And I also got the Halo Anniversary Edition.
Nice.
Which I did play back when it first came out, and I did really dig. And again, it was like going back to an old friend, you know. You realize how awesome the original Halo's campaign was.
Yeah,
it was a great
true,
campaign.
Man.
It was really good. So that was about it for games. I have, thanks to you, you bastard, I've decided to take a plunge into the whole iPad pool.
I'm telling you, man, for gaming, like, I'm gaming more on my iPad now than...
Silence! Heathen! Blasphemer!
I know, but...
Someone get me some holy water!
I know, but I was always a naysayer about that kind of stuff, too, right? Gaming on mobile devices, but... Man, oh man. Sony's gotta watch out.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole portable market, everybody says that's the way it's going.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says. But, I mean, you look at the cost of entry and stuff, too. You know, an iPad 2 is a lot more expensive than a PlayStation Portable.
It's true, but with a mobile device like this, you're not just buying it as a gaming device.
No, this is true. This is also true.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the only two real games I got. I did, over like the tail end of December, discover a few... Mama Poor Pigs, whatever it is they call them. Mamor Pigs.
What is that backwards?
Mamor Pigs or something? Massively multiplayer online role playing games.
Yeah.
Now I've got a thing. I'd call it an illness or a disorder, but I don't think it's really been documented. I got a thing that whenever a new Mamor Pig comes out, I've got to try it.
Mamor Pig.
Character in Burma Papa.
Probably was.
But no, every time I see a new.
Say what?
Thing you say whenever I call the cat Barba Papa.
I don't remember.
Flickety flick something trick.
Clickety click Barba trick.
There we go.
Yeah, we got a girl here, by the way. Forgot to mention that. But no,
score.
I did fire up Rift after hearing a lot of really good things, and played the first 5 or 6 levels, and it is really good.
Rift is cool, man. I watched a lot of videos of it online, and I dug the style, and, you know.
I mean, it very much apes World of Warcraft. It does.
Oh, yeah.
But it apes it in all the areas that count to make it, like, a solid-feeling experience.
Yep.
But then what it does differently from WoW is exactly what matters.
Yeah.
You know, like, the whole... Just the setup and the way the game plays, like, the opening missions and stuff. I was really impressed. It was really cool. It played really well, and I could see myself subscribing.
Yeah,
I could, like, not at this point in time because I've still got Skyrim and all that. But
and I'm gonna wait till it's free to play.
Well, you know, there could be that too.
It's inevitable.
But it is something that I could see myself spending some time with. And yeah. I actually kind of dug, like, the nature of the quests and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, it was more the typical grind: go kill 10 of this, go activate 5 of these, whatever, you know. But just the way it was done and the context in which it happened, it felt more natural.
Yeah.
Which leads me to the other example. This one was a really big release, came out the week before Christmas. Huge, much hype, years in the making. It was supposed to be entirely storyline focused, you know, the MMO for people who hate MMOs. I'm talking about Star Wars The Old Republic.
Right.
It's an MMO.
Yeah.
Dude, they promised us that last year with DC Universe.
It's an MMO. I mean,
the
promise, you know,
comes every year.
It's supposed to be all storyline and your own character's tale and, you know, enough content to make Knights of the Old Republic 4, 5, 6, and 7, sure, you know, whatever. But as soon as I fired it up and created the character, go kill 10 of these. Now go kill 10 more. Now go click on this item and bring me back such and such. And it was just like...
I'll tell you everything you want to know about midichlorians, but only after you bring me back 9 scalps.
You know, it's just right away I was turned off completely. And what made it even more kind of yawn-inducing for me was it felt exactly like the opening parts of WoW. You know, it felt like exactly like the first time you roll a Blood Elf and kick it off. You know, in whatever hell that city is where the Blood Elves start.
Right.
You know, like, it just... Blood Elf City. Blood Elf Town. Blood Elf Dale. Whatever. But, you know, it felt exactly the same. And it just... You know, I'm told play through until you get to the first flashpoint and it gets really good and the storyline starts to pick up and all of that. But I tried 3 different character classes. Neither one of them really grabbed me.
Right.
You know? I don't like the idea of playing as a Sith. I just don't, because it's not my thing. I find that Star Wars and the way they've turned the Jedi into, like, warrior gods has just pissed me off to no end.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I won't get into that whole nerd rage. But I don't know. I have 30 days, so I'm definitely going to play some more of it, you know? I bought the Fancy Collector's Edition, which was very fancy and very cool. But the gameplay... You know, it didn't grab me like I hoped it would, especially being... I was a huge fan of Knights of the Old Republic. And to me, like, the connective tissue is just not there. It doesn't feel like a sequel to Knights of the Old Republic to me at all.
Right.
You know, which BioWare kind of hinted around that it was. But again, maybe if I get further into it, all of this stuff will come into play. I don't know. But right now, I'm kind of a little, I gotta say, a little bit disappointed, even though the gameplay itself, I mean, yeah, clones, wow, but it is rock solid.
Yeah.
It runs smooth. The server setup is actually really cool. You know, like, it's been a flawless victory in terms of launch and stuff like that, considering some of the other MMOs I've played, you know, like Final Fantasy XIV, you know? But, I don't see, the interest is just not there
for
me to keep
going. The important
question,
if it fails in the face of WoW, when do we get to start blaming on George Lucas?
I, in all honesty, the amount of people playing this game, I honestly don't see it failing.
No?
No. That was my phone.
That was your phone. We should turn our. I turned mine off.
I meant to turn mine off.
That's all right.
James Cameron thing. Whenever a cell phone rings during a take, he's got a nail gun and he nails it. He nails it above the exit door that he makes them walk out.
Oh my god!
So that's it for me.
Wow.
I didn't realize those games were under the tree. I thought there was only one game under the tree this year.
Oh. There was another game under the tree here. Thanks for reminding me, Sarah.
But it wasn't for us.
No.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good talk.
We did get Skylanders, Spyro's Adventures.
Nice.
For the kids. And
for what console? Because it's out for all of them.
We got it for Xbox 360 because the Xbox 360 came with a wired portal of power. Which
plus
we figured would be...
Plus the fact that the 360...
Well, yeah, and you know, Abby has a 360.
Yeah.
So... But it came with a wired portal of power, which is this little thing you plug into a USB port on the front of the Xbox. You have these little 2-inch tall action figures, well, figures on there. And they're in the game.
Yeah.
Simultaneously. So and it's awesome!
Is there like a chip or something in the bottom of the figure?
There's something in the figure that it picks up on, because the way it works is I could lay my little Spyro figure, play a Spyro for so long, level him up to like level 7, and if I take that figure to anyone else's game and lay him on the portal of power, he's there as a level 7.
Nice.
Actually, Abby's friend borrowed it last night, and when he put it on his portal of power for his PS3 version of the game, it actually loaded up and said that they were welcoming a Skylander from another system or whatever way it was worded. So it recognized that it had been leveled up on Abby's system first and
wow.
came over to visit in her system.
That shit is awesome.
That is intense.
That shit is
and
awesome.
And then asked if it wanted to use the nicknames that had already been given to the characters on her system.
Who published this game?
Activision.
I just wonder when they're going to start, you know, searching for more lucrative crossovers.
They don't need to.
No,
they've got the action figures, man. Those things are going to sell for years.
My aunt got it for Christmas. Pretty hilarious. Actually, no, she didn't. She got it for her kids, but she's been playing it. And apparently, she was telling me about this yesterday. There was one figure, like a black dragon type figure.
Yeah, the Dark Spyro.
Apparently, you could only get it with the DS version.
Yeah, 3DS version.
And she was actually yesterday sitting at the table and thinking to herself. She said this, you know, Kevin, I was wondering, do I really want to pay $70 for the DS version of the game just so I can get the black dragon? And you know, I almost do.
I kind of like that too.
When I heard
the latest,
when I heard that that Costco has them on sale for $44.99,
right.
The first thing that popped into my head was, I wonder if they have the 3DS version for that.
Yeah,
But I mean, and like, it comes with this little poster that's got all the characters listed on it, and you get a sticker with each character to put over them, so you know which ones you got.
Like the old checklist that used to come with Transformers.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Nice.
And of course,
kids got it up on their playroom.
You know,
they get each one comes with a sticker that is a picture of the character, and then a sticker that is the name, and the name goes over, like, on the poster.
It's faded.
It's faded, and you stick the sticker over the faded name
cool.
when you get
it's,
it.
I mean, it's just, it totally appeals to the collector mentality in me, you know, and I'm just like,
yeah.
I was more excited than the kids were the day after Boxing Day to go out and look around for more figures. You know, I was like, oh, I gotta find some more, I gotta find this guy, you know, and the kids were like, ooh, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go find Skylanders, and of course,
meanwhile,
everybody in the city is sold out.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're the ones who are all upset every time I go out now, because they want to check and see if there are any Skylanders in, and
right.
there's none there.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think it's fantastic that Spyro's got a hiss.
And I thought it was kind of cool, actually, because the guys who created the game, this Big Bob's Toys or something like this is the name of the studio. Activision basically went to them with a folder full of the properties that they had that were languishing, stuff they got from Sierra through the buyout, which is where they got Crash and Spyro.
Right.
And,
maybe Crash Bandicoot will be in it.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be amazing? But
basically, this is what they did. Activision went to them and said, you have, like, go through these properties, you have one property you can relaunch.
Right.
And this is what they chose with Spyro. And this was what they came up with. And I was like, man, like, that's actually pretty freaking brilliant. You know, that's a pretty cool little reinvention.
And Gary Goddard works for this company.
Yeah, really. And the other side of it, the kids absolutely love it.
Yeah.
The kids love it. And I love it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well,
they've had their friends over playing it with them pretty much every day since Christmas. They've been playing it constant. And actually, the friend who borrowed the characters from her last night, they only got the game yesterday because they've been here every day this week playing it.
Wow.
And they were out at Costco yesterday and saw it was on sale for $44, so we might as well buy it.
How much does it retail for the basic?
$69.
Which is not, it's reasonable.
And that comes with the pedestal.
Yeah, your portal of power.
Yep.
Your game.
And come with Captain Power? Can he stand on the pedestal and power on?
No, unfortunately.
It comes with
Spyro, do you say that when the girls turn on the system?
Gil, Grunt, and Trigger Happy? Is that his name?
Yeah, Trigger Happy.
So three figures, yeah. The pedestal in the game.
And you can finish the game, apparently, the entire game, with just the three characters that it comes with, but there's different little side quests and stuff that you can't get into unless you have certain...
Elements.
Because there's
You know what that's kind of like? That's like... microtransactions in the real world.
Yeah, it's like taking DLC and making it, like, physical.
Well, and yeah.
Instead of purchasing your DLC on the Xbox Live Store, you're buying it at Walmart.
You can get expansion levels and stuff in these sets, too. And, like, there's one that's got, like, this big pirate ship in it, and you put the pirate ship on the pedestal, and it opens up a whole other level for
you.
It's so cool. It's really
cool. Well, you had me a pirate ship. Well, you had me a Spyro.
They took DLC, and then they combined it with the 1980s.
Which is the smartest thing they could have ever done.
Imagine, if you will, you know, say, I don't know, say like a Warhammer.
Oh my god, or don't even, you know, start putting a Transformer on the pedestal of power.
No, man, like a Warhammer, and you buy separate little guns and stuff for them, and the guns have these chips in them. Right. So you got your figure, and then you lay your gun down, and then you're all like...
Even better than Warhammer. You were talking about bringing a book full of languishing properties?
Yeah.
Mutant Chronicles.
Oh, man. Battle Beasts.
It's like Nerd Nirvana.
Battle Beasts.
Oh my god. That'd be awesome.
Anyway, yeah, so there we go. That's what was new in gaming.
Yeah. It actually looked like it played pretty well, too.
There was also How to Train Your Dragon, which sucks, and I'm not going to talk about.
Alright.
Moving on to the news.
We have the news.
No.
First up, the PlayStation 4 and Xbox Next /720/whatever to be unveiled at this year's E3, according to MCV Magazine and an unnamed 100% rock-solid source. The question all gamers are asking themselves, do we need them?
No.
Definitely not.
I don't even think the 360 has been bottomed out yet for its for power.
It's not even about power. I think it was, I don't remember if it was Jason Rubin or Cliff Bleszinski who said it, but we've reached a point in the system's lifespans now where developers understand what the machines can do, but now they're coming up with new tricks on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think Rage is a perfect example of that.
Definitely.
You know, but this is it's
actually, I like it better, to what Ken Levine said. Graphics have gotten to the point now where you can't get much better. Now the question is about gameplay.
Yeah, and again, you've reached a point, you've reached parity. You've reached a point where what comes out of an artist's head and goes on paper is parity to what's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see concept art and concept paintings, and the characters in-game look just like them. You know?
Okay, it's going to sound funny because I was never a big fan of the show.
Yep.
Looking at screenshots of the friggin' Dragon Ball Z games that are coming out.
Yeah, and it looks better than the anime.
Looks better than anything that was ever on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
But, wow. I mean, even, like, you look at stuff like Gears of War. Gears of War basically looks like a pre-rendered poster in motion.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, like, and I mean, that's not even the nicest looking game out there.
Yeah.
You know, it has reached a point where the artist's imaginations, basically the hardware has outstripped their imaginations.
Yeah.
I just lost the screen.
What, How much time went by in between the last generation and this generation?
They usually say 5 or 6 years.
Was it?
Well, like, PlayStation 2 launched in 2000.
Right.
And then we had, you know, Xbox 360 in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a longer span.
Yeah.
But, again, it's just the hardware hasn't really been outstripped. And, I mean, when the Xbox 360 launched in 2005, the original Xbox was just starting to see games like Chronicles of Riddick,
mm-hmm.
Doom 3... You know, like, games that were in Splinter Cell Chaos Theory. Games that were just bringing in all these new, this bump theory. Mapping and all these lighting effects and stuff that, really, when the Xbox 360 first launched, for the first year, it was basically, outside of two games, it was original Xbox games in high def.
Yeah.
With some new light, with some shinier lighting effects.
Yeah,
you remember when, just around the time the 360 launched, I brought over Burnout Revenge for the original Xbox.
Yeah.
We're all sitting there saying, man, you don't need a new system but yet.
It's gone even beyond that now.
Yeah.
You know, like, what could they possibly do now? Like, I mean, yeah, I understand, okay, high def and all that. We got our high definition and stuff like this. And it was John Carmack who said it. John Carmack basically dropped his theories on the next generation. And his comment was, the next generation, you're not going to see the big graphical boost that you saw
this
generation.
That's right, it was Carmack, not Levine.
Yeah. But Carmack said, everything's going to be running 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be 1080p. Everything is going to have crazy artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And I can see that. Like, I basically, the ideas that are there for this generation are going to be perfected
mm-hmm.
for the next, you know?
Yeah.
Like rather than glitches and hiccups and frame rate drops and all this kind of stuff, texture, like, screen tearing and stuff, all that stuff's going to go away.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not going to see that huge graphical jump.
Yeah, no, I don't see
and hopefully
that.
This next generation, they'll, you know, we can forget about the whole motion gaming and gimmicky Milli Vanilli shit that's been going on.
Yeah. You know what? We don't need him.
Why is he doing the Dawson dance?
I am still looking forward to it.
Because, you know, I love shiny new things.
I'm a big fan of shiny new things, and if the killer app is there, you know, like if... But I got a feeling it's going to be like the first year of the Xbox 360, where you had two games that were worth owning.
Yeah, definitely.
And neither one of them was there at launch.
Maybe we'll see new Skylanders.
Woo! Retailer rumblings are giving Diablo 3... a February 1st release date. That's what? 2-3 weeks from now?
Impossible!
Blizzard claims Diablo 3 has no release date.
Well, there you go.
Best Boy has a countdown clock. A countdown clock! You can't argue with a countdown clock.
Well, if Blizzard is coming right out and saying, we don't have a date, I mean, this is Blizzard.
Blizzard come never on. Have a date.
Stop stepping on my dreams, Kevin Walsh.
I'm just stepping on your dreams.
Hello, my friend.
It won't
stay a while.
All right, so it's coming out February 1st, 2018.
Yeah, that's the date they would
people missed the 2 years thing at the beginning of the countdown.
So we do have some Minecraft news this week,
woo!
Which I'm very, very excited about.
What's going on in the world of Minecraft?
Well, I picked up the Minecraft Pocket Edition for the iPad over Christmas. And I've talked about it beforehand. You can't really do a whole lot with it. It's basically just like playing Legos in Minecraft without anything else. It's getting an update, February 8th. Good news for anybody who plays it. Cause
anybody who paid 10 cents for it on the Android.
Yeah, like yourself. The update is including some back-end stuff for adding survival mode elements to the game eventually. So that update doesn't mean there's going to be survival mode things in it right now, but just means they're getting ready for it, which is
it
great.
It means basically by the end of the year, hopefully Minecraft Portal will be up to parity with what Minecraft was a year ago.
Hopefully.
Maybe.
But they're also adding some fuzzy animals.
Hey, fuzzy animals!
Fences.
Woo!
And doors.
Oh my god.
I'm very excited about it, because you know that wizard tower I was telling you about?
Yep.
There's no doors, man.
I think I just peed a little.
It's pretty drafty. Where are the children? Why are there no children in Minecraft? Approximately, what the hell just happened? Approximately 122 FAQs and game guides have been lifted from game FAQs and found their way out to the Amazon Kindle ebook store. You can now purchase guides you could get for free on GameFAQs. Somebody be making mad ducats.
That's hilarious.
Probably the same douchebags who didn't pay for Witcher 2.
Man, I totally just bought...
Son of a witch.
I just bought a Fear 3 guide on the Amazon Kindle Marketplace. I paid like $3 for that shit.
Who would buy those?
I didn't really. I just made that up.
No, I'm talking about just the game facts that are on Kindle. I wasn't
people who don't
to
know. People who don't know any better.
People who don't know that game facts exist.
Yeah.
Wow.
People who don't know that one of the oldest video game based websites
people
on the internet
doesn't
exist.
People think that Dark Souls is the hardest and shittiest game they've ever played.
Speaking of, Dark Souls could make its way to computers, according to the creative director whose name I can't pronounce.
Wow.
If you sign a petition. Number one, do you dare? And number two, do we care? We've already got it. We've got Dark Souls. I've got it on PlayStation 3. I'm sure there are Xbox guys out there playing it who are so used to their Call of Duty that they're sitting there going, this game's too hard, boy. I can't play this.
There's not even a moon to blow up by.
Yeah. I'm stealing my material. Thank you. This is Steve Allen. You're stealing my bit.
I mean, the more platforms, I guess, the better. And I can really
nobody's going to pay for it anyway.
They're just going to download it.
They're going to pull a Witcher on it.
They're just going to hit Pirate Bay. That's probably what the Xbox owners are doing anyway.
Arr, shiver me, Xbox.
I think that's, well, who knows, man. My machine won't play it anyway. So.
I mean, I think it's great because it opens it up for mods, and then that means everybody's just going to go and hack the shit out of it, make it easy.
Turn all the dragons into Macho Man Randy Savage.
There we go, turn all the dragons into Macho Man.
Macho Man, come on.
Yeah! So, we've got some more news regarding blocks that are placed on top of each other. Lego Lord of the Rings is forthcoming.
Woo!
According to a teaser poster making the rounds. We don't have any details whatsoever. But LEGO did acquire the rights to do LEGO sets based on Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. So, you know, it's inevitable.
How timely.
It's very timely. There's a video
timely.
Game going to come out.
Those shrewd guys at LEGO. Always thinking.
It's true, man. They're cutthroats over there, man. I think it's going to be
never
fantastic.
Trust the Danes. Is that where LEGO's from? From Danish? Daneland?
Whatever. Daneland?
What's the name of the joint? I don't remember.
Isn't it a Swedish company?
Swedish. Sweden.
Ironclad.
They're
Norwegians,
no.
Mick.
Anyway, I think it's going to be great, because, man, their sense of humor on their other games, combined with Lord of the Rings.
It should be pretty fun.
It's going to be awesome. I'd pick it up. Definitely.
That's the end of the news. We've got an interesting ambush topic.
You've got an ambush topic for us.
I've got an ambush topic. And we've got some special guests in the audience. I might throw this sucker at these guys, too, because they're totally unprepared.
All right. It's an ambush.
Motherfucker.
That's a trap.
It's a trap.
You know, we've gotten through this episode without swearing until John Dobbin showed up.
Woo! John Dobbin in the house.
Fuck yeah.
There you go. Now we get the explicit warning on the podcast.
Okay, here we go. First, my lovely wife, Sarah.
Uh-oh.
Crappy Christmas games. You ever get a really crappy video game for Christmas?
Digital gobbledygookers.
Shitty Christmas turkeys.
Oh.
Ew.
Christmas turkeys stuffed with poop.
Like your mom made them.
Oh.
Oh, no.
She doesn't listen. It's okay.
Programmed by Bev
Moore. I don't get a whole lot of video games for Christmas.
You had to have gotten, like, crappy NES games or something, though.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Bart versus the Space Mutants.
Oh boy, Sky Shark.
I did get that. But I liked that game.
I thought that was a pretty good game.
The Queen were the thieves of children's dreams. The assassins of imagination.
That was a horrible, horrible game. Find 18 purple things to exit the first level. Never mind that there's only like 6 purple things in the entire level. We are so evil.
There is no second level.
I got to, like, the third level.
Lies and slander. No one ever got to the third level of Simpsons Bart versus the Space Mutants because it doesn't exist.
I did.
That's it, you're fired.
Do we still have it?
No more podcasting for you.
No, we still have it, don't we?
I don't know.
I want you to put it in the Nintendo right now, and I want to see it, or I want a divorce.
The first level was in the mall, right?
First level was on the street on
okay.
Was an Evergreen Terrace when Bart's looking for
okay.
Purple things.
Well, I went through the street and through the mall. And
oh.
It was the next level that I couldn't get through.
Didn't even know there was a mall. Kev's going to game fax that stuff now. By the God on Amazon. How about you, John?
Oh, so many.
How about you, Jandre?
Yeah.
Come on over here.
Not the other John. Not John the Lesser.
It's only because I'm shorter.
And lesser of a man.
Ooh.
There's going to be a John fight now in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Chop battle.
Chops. Well, I got Skyrim for Christmas.
That's not a bad game.
Oh.
That's a fantastic game.
A no, bad game. Something horrible.
Probably the latest, not the latest rendition, but SmackDown versus Raw, like 2011 or 2012 or something like that.
The last SmackDown versus
Raw? Not the one that just came out, but the one before that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
That was pretty horrible.
That was pretty bad?
Yeah, pretty shitty.
Just terrible game?
Yeah, I couldn't even look at it. I think like 2 days later I brought it to where you work and I traded it in.
I think you did.
And I was like, here, take this.
Get it away from me.
And let me buy another game that's much better.
It burns.
Yeah.
How about you, John?
So many Christmases. So many. Did we talk about the year I got Cobra Triangle Into the Earth?
But that year, everybody got Cobra Triangle Into the
Earth. I didn't.
Quiet you.
Do we talk about the year I asked for, like, Mario 3 or something and got Platoon and Back to the Future?
Oh, God.
A lot of people are saying, but what are you complaining about? You got two Nintendo games. Two Nintendo games by LJN.
Oh, I finished Platoon.
Did you? No, you didn't. That's long, because nobody ever finished the first
level. I actually did. I had a map in GamePro that got me through that first level. Showed me which paths to take.
Horribly. Do I talk about the year I asked for X-Men Mutant Apocalypse and got Spider-Man and the X-Men?
Oh!
The year I asked for Chrono Trigger and got Cool World?
Someone in your house really hated you.
I had to go and tell my parents just to never, ever buy me a video game again.
Are you sure you weren't like the milkman's son or something and your dad was just punishing you?
You can't disappoint a picture. It finally ended in 1997 when Final Fantasy VII came out. But I think that's why that point video games had dropped in price a little bit, so my parents didn't have to go to Piper's or Canadian Tire or Byway to get my Christmas gifts.
Yeah, Byway was closed at that point.
Forgot about Byway.
How about you, Kev?
Well, I'm not going to mention a video game. I'm going to say a peripheral. And it was the Power Glove.
You got a Power Glove.
Yes.
It's so bad.
Did it come with Super Glove Ball? Because I never got to play that. The commercial made it look so random.
The Power Glove was both the most awesomest and terriblest. Terriblest?
That's a nice word.
That's a good word.
And most horrible?
That's a 10-cent word there. And most horrible present ever. Because it looked cool. You felt like Captain Power while you were wearing it. But playing it?
So you and Joe used to go in the front line and pretend you were punching robots.
Maybe in the basement, yeah. But it was really bad to play with.
It looked like Hellboy.
I don't know what happened to it. I had it for years later. I even had it up until a couple years ago. Because I used it as a prop in a play. And I don't know where it is now.
I have never, ever used a Power Glove.
You've never used one?
I never
did. So you can't tell if it's bad or not?
I remember looking through the little code book.
Yeah.
Because, like, whenever you played a specific, like, it had the code book that came with it. Like, so if you were playing Rad Racer, you had to punch in, like, 012
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, you had to put it, because there was a little keypad on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember looking at it one time. I remember actually having it on. I think Mike Power had it. And I remember having it on and doing the beep, 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 beep from Predator.
That's awesome.
But other than that, man, I never really had much experience with it. Other than it sucking.
It wasn't very good. It wasn't very good.
I think, actually, the worst video game present that I ever got wasn't a video game. It was the year I got a joystick for the Nintendo.
But it fit
a
Commodore?
No. I got all excited because I'm getting a Nintendo! Santa finally got me a Nintendo!
But he didn't.
And then Dad looked over and said, "What do you mean? I got a Nintendo joystick. I'm getting a Nintendo."
The joystick was supposed to be for the Tandy.
It was supposed to be for the Atari.
Oh.
Right
on.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crushing disappointment.
That is a crushing
disappointment. Your father's such an ass.
But the next year, I did get the Nintendo.
The next year?
Yeah.
So you had to sit down and look at that controller for a year.
No, they returned it to Buckaway.
No. She didn't get a Christmas gift, though, because her dad got to notice the orange juice was on sale.
I wasn't allergic to oranges then, thank you very much.
So she got orange juice for Christmas.
No, she's not actually, she's not actually allergic to orange juice, man. She just hates her father for that joystick.
I gotta say, game-wise, I pretty much... Mom and Dad always kind of asked, what games are you looking for? So that wasn't too bad. But one year there was a system that I didn't ask for, because I didn't really have a whole lot of interest in it.
Right.
The Nintendo 64.
Right.
And you know, you're kind of at that awkward teenage, post-high school age where your parents don't really know what to get you, and they ask you what you want for Christmas, and you're kind of like, eh, I don't know. So I got a Nintendo 64.
Okay.
And
there were some good games on that system.
When?
I think we talked previously about maybe three.
We played the shit out of GoldenEye.
We did play the shit out of GoldenEye.
I remember playing a lot of GoldenEye. Yeah,
and that was pretty much the only game that got played on it.
And what about that Star Wars one?
Shadows of the Empire?
Shadows of the Empire.
I do remember watching Jay Downer play through Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember. But I don't remember really playing much of it myself. I remember watching him play it.
You had it, though, I remember.
I did, yeah. That was one of the ones I got with it. I got that, and I think it was Killer Instinct.
Okay.
Which I barely touched.
Right.
But yeah, the N64 was a bit of a... It ended up in the box under my bed for about a year, year and a half, and then I bought a PlayStation 1 and traded it all in and used the beans to buy PlayStation 1 games.
Nice.
Yeah.
That might have been around the same time that I acquired a TurboGrafx-16.
I loved my TurboGrafx-16.
That was a nice little system.
I love that system.
Those cartridges, the cards, anyway,
yeah.
Still my favorite format to this day. They were so compact.
They were pretty cool.
They were pretty cool. They were called something. Yeah,
were they called that in over here, too?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep. Hue cards.
I don't know if they called them like Turbo Chips or something.
No, Hue cards. Everything was Turbo something, though. But yeah, no, I loved my Turbo.
Yeah, it was a cool system.
Did you have the extra peripheral that you connected to a television?
No, there was an extra peripheral that let you connect it to, like, audio-video cables, which gave you stereo sound and stuff.
But it couldn't just be an audio-video cable, no. It had to be some giant piece of plastic that hooked into the back of the Turbo.
Yeah, it was called the Turbo Booster.
Now, I didn't buy yours off you. I think I got it from somebody else.
You got yours from Vinny, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, I gave you some games.
You might have, yeah. Like Ninja Spirit, I think, was one.
Best game on the system. Game.
Yeah.
Ninja Spirit and Bloody Wolf. Best two games for that machine.
Keith Courage wasn't too bad.
Yes, it was. It's just for a lot of us, that was the only game we had.
That's true. Bonk, of course. Bonk was great.
Bonk was pretty fun.
We're on a tangent now.
Yeah, Remembering the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, after hearing about my video game Christmases, you need to have a warm and fuzzy memory to...
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
I'm just going to knock down. I'm thinking about Cruel World right now.
More like Cruel World.
And like, there'd be times you'd be thinking... Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe, you know, they saw that Spider-Man X-Men game and figured that was it, but no, cool. Well, you're right, I am the Postman's son. I am no one's son.
My brother got Singularity for Christmas this year.
That was an awesome game.
Was it?
Singularity was really good.
That was one that Mom picked up without even asking any of us about
games. It was actually a really good game.
Was it?
Okay. I have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Russian Bioshock, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Russian Bioshock.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it uses really cool time travel mechanics.
Okay.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to call it an evening. Thank you for joining us.
It's been a good time.
It's been a fun, you know, look back at the TurboGrafx-16. Go ahead, John.
If there's one thing we want you to take away from this podcast, it's this.
Set phasers to love me!
Gone.